and WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
Find out what's going on in the world, the state, and in your own backyard. This is a Civic Media Network News Update.
Good morning. It's 8 o'clock. I'm Luke Mathers, and here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The stakes are rising in the battle over redistricting lawsuits in Wisconsin. Brittany Merlot reports.
Assembly Speaker Robin Voss suggested on Friday that Republican lawmakers may consider impeachment proceedings against Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice Janet Protasiewicz. That is if the justice does not recuse herself from a redistricting case that comes before the court. Voss said to Protasiewicz calling the maps rigged in her campaign earlier this year means she already prejudged the case. Since the swearing-in of Protasiewicz on August 1st, two lawsuits have already been filed with the state Supreme Court challenging the state's legislative maps. I'm Brittany Merlot, Civic Media News.
President Biden visits Wisconsin tomorrow. The White House says he'll mark the first anniversary of the Inflation Reduction Act in Milwaukee. A statement says the president will talk about how his policies have grown the economy. Democratic strategist Joe Zepecki was on WISN TV's Upfront program yesterday.
I think the president's going to be here a lot, and I think that's great because the more people see Joe Biden, they will see the contrast between his common sense agenda, bipartisan legislative wins, and a Republican Party that is totally lost right now.
Biden's visit comes just over a week before the first Republican presidential primary debate at Pfizer Forum. An internal police investigation is underway in Kenosha. That's after a viral video that appears to show an officer punching a black man who'd done nothing wrong. Terry Bell reports.
It happened July 20th. Jermell English Jr. was tackled to the floor and arrested while dining with his family at an Applebee's restaurant. Police were chasing the suspect in a nearby rollover crash. It appears to be a case of mistaken identity. An Applebee's employee told officers that some, quote, suspicious people who may have been involved in the crash were in the restaurant. That employee directed officers to English. The actual suspects were hiding in the bathroom. They were arrested for the crash, and English and the woman he was eating with were arrested for disorderly conduct and resisting arrest. The restaurant's manager has been fired. Terry Bell, Civic Media News.
Wisconsin is experiencing an above-average and drawn-out fire season. That is according to the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. Already, the state has seen nearly 900 wildfires across almost 4,400 acres this year. The dry conditions from drought have extended the wildfire season, which typically occurs in the spring in Wisconsin. Expect to spend more this back-to-school season than for any previous school year. In all, spending for K-12 students returning to the classroom is expected to hit $41.5 billion this fall. That's according to a new joint survey from the National Retail Federation and Prosper Insights and Analytics. And that's what Wisconsin needs to know. I'm Luke Mathers, and this is Civic Media News.
For Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, I'm Jimmy Cuska. Here's what you need to know in Amory. Workers at the Leinenkugel's Brewery in Chippewa Falls begin their second month of a strike as they seek better wages. About four dozen employees began the strike last month, saying their pay hasn't kept up with the cost of living. The workers' union and Molson Coors met earlier this month, with the beer company refusing to budge on its offer, saying it was above market rates for similar roles. Molson Coors doesn't expect any production delays or impact to its sales. A Cornell man is charged for theft by a contractor after taking money up front to paint homes and then never doing the work. Tyrell Sikora, the owner of Sikora Prime Painting and S&S Painting in Washing, was charged in Eau Claire County Friday after three homeowners said he didn't do the work he was paid for. Sikora is facing charges in five other cases in two different counties for theft by a contractor, according to online court records. He's due back in court next month. The National Weather Service in the Twin Cities says today will be a washout with moderate to heavy rains expected for much of today in western Wisconsin. For Civic Media News, I'm Jimmy Cuss.
The Brewers sweep the White Sox. Good afternoon, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The crew took game three of a three-game series at Guaranteed Rate Field with a 7-3 win over the Chicago White Sox. First baseman Carlos Santana picked up in that trade with the Pirates, connected in the eighth against Chicago's Aaron Bummer. Brian Anderson on Bally Sports Wisconsin.
Santana, high fly ball, right center field, hit well. This ball's carrying. Center, and the Brewers put a crooked number on the board here in the eighth.
Brewers manager Craig Counsell.
We got a big hit. Carlos, a big hit. I think that's his first homer Bummer's given up this year, so that was a huge hit. And then added more late, so a good tack on runs late to make it comfortable.
After the game, Santana said the home run had a special meaning.
It's a great day for me. My son, David, his birthday, and he told me this morning, and I'm getting it. I'm very proud to get a home run and the birthday today.
The Brewers open a series against the Dodgers tomorrow night. College football, the Badgers' Clay Cundiff is calling it a career. The junior tight end says after 15 years of football since the first grade and numerous surgeries, his body can't take anymore. Cundiff finished last season with a fractured ankle, broke his fibula, and tore his deltoid. The Badgers holding practice over the weekend. Wide receiver Bryson Green on why he transferred from Oklahoma State to Wisconsin.
I really just picked the best fit for me, so just thinking best fit wise, I think we're going to throw the ball a lot. I think we're going to run the ball a lot, but I think we're also going to win a lot.
NFL, the Packers had a workout yesterday and they hold practice again today. The Packers veteran tight end Ty Davis suffered a torn ACL. He's out for the season. What's next? Head coach Matt LaFleur.
Yeah, I think everything's on the table. I know Goody and his staff are going to keep their eyes open in terms of if there's an opportunity out there. And quite frankly, you're always making adjustments as a coach.
That's Packers head coach Matt LaFleur. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Good morning, Wisconsin. 7 minutes after 8 o'clock right now. And it's a Monday morning. Yeah, it feels like a Monday, doesn't it? It's Monday, the 14th of August. Can you believe that we're already halfway through this month? Man, where did it go? Hey, and of course, if today is the 14th of August, that means it's only 6 months until Valentine's Day. Yep, start making your plans now. Anyway, welcome into the Stu Daniels Show. You can hear this show Monday through Friday, 8 to 10 a.m. I'm your host, Stu Daniels, and I hope you had a great weekend. Hope you got some relaxing done and some fun. Yeah, I hope you worked some fun into your weekend. I had a fun weekend and a relaxing weekend. Got to watch part of the final performance by Dead & Company on Saturday night. I only got to see the first set, but it was still fun to see. That's for sure. It's hard to believe that those guys aren't going to be on the road anymore, but we'll talk about music a little bit more later on in the show. Stick around for that. First thing I want to give you is some weather information. The drought in southern Wisconsin may be easing up a little bit with all of the rain that we've been having and will have today. I'm going to get rain in most sections of the western part of the state as well. La Crosse today, chance of rain. Highs only in the mid-60s, pretty much steady temperatures throughout the day. Eau Claire, chance of rain with highs in the upper 60s. And same thing in Amory, high around 70, though. Richland Center, steady temperatures throughout the day, only in the low 60s with a chance of rain. And up in Hayward, they say the rain is going to end around 11 a.m. And Hayward is probably the place with the nicest weather today. On the western side of the state, highs in the low 70s with sunshine this afternoon. And in sports, man, big weekend for the Brewers. They won yesterday by a score of 7-3 over the White Sox. They swept that three-game series, winning all three of those games, and they are off today before heading out on the road, three games with the Dodgers, and then three games with the Rangers. And as far as the headlines today, let's see. There's the story about wastewater. Wisconsin, a national leader in using wastewater to monitor public health. Also, Robin Voss calling for Justice Janet Protasiewicz to recuse herself or face impeachment in the redistricting case. And, of course, Wisconsin getting a lot of attention as we move into the 2024 presidential election cycle. And Daniel Bice of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel saying that Justice Rebecca Bradley is editing her own Wikipedia page. She must have some time on her hands, sitting down and correcting what she sees as wrong information on her Wikipedia page. But let's first get to this story about wastewater. This is kind of interesting. And I have a story here from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel posted a couple hours ago. And in this story, and even in the headline for the story, there's a word used that I'm not going to use on the air. It's not a bad word, but it's a word that describes waste. Okay. It says everybody produces waste. Actually, it says everybody poops. And then it says Wisconsin is a national leader in using it to monitor public health. So in this story, it says in September of 2020, the height of the COVID-19 pandemic, public health officials and researchers started hunting for signs of the virus's spread in an unexpected place, our waste. Samples of municipal wastewater provided a wealth of information that combined with diagnostic lab testing, hospitalization rates, and other disease surveillance data could warn officials of a rise in cases and help them track evolving forms of the virus and inform public health policy. Here in Wisconsin, a trio of research and public health organizations collaborated to expand wastewater disease testing like never before. At the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee, molecular biologist Sandra McClellan emerged as a national expert, bringing some 20 years of experience researching wastewater and what happens when it gets into our lakes and rivers to the state's new surveillance system. At the University of Wisconsin-Madison, scientists at the Wisconsin State Laboratory of Hygiene had the capacity to process large numbers of samples quickly and efficiently, allowing the program to coordinate with wastewater treatment facilities and ultimately cover half the state's population. And at the Wisconsin Department of Health Services, epidemiologists and public health experts coordinated between their labs, the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, local public health departments, and others. They compiled data into a public dashboard and translated it into action. Today, wastewater disease surveillance has become a key public health tool, even as the technology continues to evolve and improve. Wisconsin's system covers 68% of the state's sewered population, and it stands out nationally. Last month, the CDC announced Wisconsin's wastewater program was one of four National Centers of Excellence, a designation that will position it at the forefront of efforts to improve and expand wastewater's role in monitoring public health. So hopefully it means a more healthy Wisconsin. Here is a quote for you. It says, when we began the wastewater surveillance program in Wisconsin in 2020, it would have been hard to imagine the growth that we have seen in this area of science and public health over the past 3 years. Ian Prey, coordinator of the Wisconsin Wastewater Surveillance Program at DHS, said in an email interview, quote, now we have the ability to detect a wide array of infectious diseases in the wastewater and rely on this type of surveillance as a core tool in our public health toolbox, end quote. And as Wisconsin experts look to the future of wastewater disease surveillance, They're asking new questions that will shape its use potentially for years to come. Those include how to make the tracking more reliable, more precise, more comparable across the country. Who does the data leave out? What ethical limits should be in place? Wastewater testing is cheap, reliable, and can cover huge swaths of the state, making it likely to become a mainstay piece of public health data, experts said. The science is advancing so fast that McClellan, despite decades of experience, said she found it hard to imagine what even the next 5 years could bring. It's uncharted territory, McClellan said. Wisconsin has become a national leader well before the COVID-19 pandemic. McClellan's lab was investigating the many connections between wastewater and human health. One of those investigations seeks to understand if wastewater can be used to track the spread of antibiotic-resistant bacteria through communities. When COVID-19 locked down the country, the idea of testing wastewater for the virus became a natural extension of the lab's work, she said. Quote, our own interest has really expanded because originally it was kind of a research question. Can we do this? How does it reflect the population, she said. Now, there's an added layer of, if you're going to generate this data, how do you make it useful for public health? End quote. The surveillance system faced critical logistical questions. How often should samples be collected? Where in the wastewater system should they be collected from? How quickly could the tests be run? How often should the data be reported? How should it be interpreted and communicated to the public? And perhaps the biggest question of all for public health leaders was how the data would be used to make public health decisions. The work took off with experts across the country testing different approaches and sharing what they learned. The advancements were beyond what many could have fathomed once it was shown that wastewater could be used to track trends in COVID-19 cases. Some started asking if genetic sequencing could be brought in to pinpoint COVID variants. McClellan admits to being one of many who thought, no way. And then it happened. Quote, I'm not sure where the last 3 years went, she said. I feel like I was in a time warp there for a while. So it sounds like Wisconsin is at the forefront of this wastewater testing to keep people healthy, And I think that's a good thing, and I support it. I hope you do too. 17 and a half minutes after 8 o'clock, let's take a quick break. It's a short one, so stick around. You're tuned in to the Stu Daniels Show.
Hot. Wait, now it's going to rain? It is summer in Wisconsin.
As much as we love it, we love to hate it too. Find a forecast you can count on along with the in-depth details you need, only from the Civic Media Weather Team.
These extended conditions have led us into a flash drought. Sitting in these above average temperatures with minimal rain has swiftly altered the local climate.
Your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app.
Hey, this is Joey Erickson at Lake Air 1260 and AM WLAK. At Civic Media, we love our local communities and want to share your stories. Submit your local event and we'll let our listeners know. Email me at joey.erickson@civicmedia.us.
With the end of summer just around the corner, make sure to enjoy it at Amory Theater and Coffee Bar. Go to amorytheater.com to see all the current movie showings and to rent out the theater. Amory Theater and Coffee Bar, open Tuesday and Wednesday, 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. and Thursday to Sunday, 7 a.m. to 9 p.m. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
I have Corrine Hendrickson, part of the Wisconsin Early Childhood Action Needed group.
The Joint Finance Committee, again in the middle of the night, took that out and said, well, hey, you have all this money coming from the federal government. Why don't you use that to create this program? Well, guess what? We proved it worked. Wages went up $2 an hour. There actually are a couple extra childcare businesses open now than there were about a year ago, and that's going to stop. Just Monday, we lost two.
Weekday morning, 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Here's your updated forecast. Cloudy today with a chance for scattered storms. Highs around 70. Northeast winds 10 to 15 miles per hour. Lows level off around 48. Tonight, mainly clear skies. Ample sunshine expected tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 79. Mainly cloudy skies expected Wednesday. Decreasing clouds by Thursday. Mid-80s Wednesday. Mid-70s by Thursday. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air, WLAK, 1260 AM. Right now, 60.
This summer, Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK has a new starting lineup. At 10, As Goes Wisconsin. Then at noon, Civic Media Network News. On Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
It's been a long time coming. It's going to be a appears to be enough. Appears to be enough. Time is a long, 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 long time before the dawn.
Songs back in the day. 24 minutes after 8 o'clock right now, Monday morning. Crosby, Stills, and Nash. David Crosby on lead vocals. David Crosby, born on this date, August 14th in 1941. And he passed away earlier this week, this year in January. Hard to believe he's gone, but he is. But he left us with a lot of great music. And, you know, that song, of course, has a lot of social commentary. Better not run for office unless you cut your hair. And things used to be a lot different, it seems. Back in the 60s, the whole hippie movement, countercultural movement of the late 60s, early 70s, it was a lot more about taking care of your brother and your sister and sharing what you have and just a more communal way of living. And in fact, even communes were a popular thing in the late 60s. Could we all live together and share what we have and take responsibility and move together as a group, as a commune? Well, obviously, some 50 years later, things have changed quite a bit. It seems a lot more people are looking out for themselves, and that's what they think is important. Everybody, it's every person for themselves. I got mine, go get yours. I'm not sharing any of mine. And what leads me to say this is an article I came across in The Atlantic by David Brooks, who is pretty well known as a journalist. He has a piece in The Atlantic right now called How America Got Mean. And by the way, if you have any input on this topic or anything else we're discussing today, feel free to call in and let me know what you're thinking. The phone number is 715-388-7155. I'm going to give you a little bit of this article before we have to go to the break. In a culture devoid of moral education, generations are growing up in a morally inarticulate, self-referential world. Over the past 8 years or so, this is David Brooks talking, I've been obsessed with two questions. The first is, why have Americans become so sad? The rising rates of depression have been well publicized, as have the rising deaths of despair from drugs and alcohol and suicide. But other statistics are similarly troubling. The percentage of people who say they don't have close friends has increased fourfold since 1990. The share of Americans ages 25 to 54 who weren't married, or living with a romantic partner went up to 38% in 2019 from 29% in 1990. A record high 25% of 40-year-old Americans have never married. More than half of all Americans say that no one knows them well. The percentage of high school students who report persistent feelings of sadness or hopelessness shot up from 26% in 2009 to 44% in 2021. My second related question is, why have Americans become so mean? I was recently talking with a restaurant owner who said that he has to eject a customer from his restaurant for rude or cruel behavior once a week, something that never used to happen. And we're running out of time. If you have any comments on this, if you have any input, feel free to call in 715-388-7155. Stick around. You're tuned in to the Stu Daniels Show.
Well, I came upon the child of God. He was walking along the road, and I asked him, tell me, where are you going? Mr. told me, said, I'm going down to Las Vegas, I'm going to join in a rock and roll band.
This summer, Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK has a new starting lineup. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Tom and Crude. Then at 6, The Maggie Dawn Show. WLAK.
ABC News, I'm Jim Ryan. Former President Donald Trump is on the mind of a Georgia prosecutor. Sources tell ABC News that Fulton County DA Fannie Willis is expected to begin presenting her case of alleged election interference to a grand jury this morning.
It's been suggested Willis aims to bring racketeering charges against the former president and allies who helped him press a bogus case that Joe Biden's victory here was fraudulent. State officials who were on the receiving end of the pressure campaign are expected to be key witnesses.
That's ABC's Stephen Portnoy in Atlanta. More dead in the wildfires in Hawaii. 96 confirmed fatalities on Maui, with about 1,000 people still missing or unaccounted for.
L.A. County sending a dozen of their cadaver dogs to search through what's left of the hundreds of buildings burnt to the ground. Search and rescue teams are going door to door looking for survivors.
And CBC's Andrew Dimbert. A tragedy has been averted in Michigan. Two pilots ejected to safety after their performance plane crashed on Sunday. This is ABC News.
Thanks for listening to your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more on our website, civicmedia.us.
For Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, I'm Jimmy Cuska. Here's what you need to know in Amory. Workers at the Leinenkugel's Brewery in Chippewa Falls begin their second month of a strike as they seek better wages. About 4 dozen employees began the strike last month, saying their pay hasn't kept up with the cost of living. The workers' union and Molson Coors met earlier this month, with the beer company refusing to budge on its offer, saying it was above market rates for similar roles. Molson Coors doesn't expect any production delays or impact to its sales. A man is dead after a rollover crash in Dunn County Saturday morning. The crash happened on Highway 85 near Kerryville at 3:25 a.m. The sheriff's office said the man's cell phone made an automated 911 call after the crash happened. The man, who was thrown from the vehicle when it crashed, was found dead at the scene. A man is dead after apparently drowning in Lake Wazee in Jackson County Friday afternoon. The sheriff's office said the man's body was being pulled from the water by people at the lake as first responders arrived. The man was pronounced dead at the scene. No other information was made available. For Civic Media News, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
With one call, the Civic Media Network of stations can deliver your business's message to the entire state of Wisconsin.
Or your hometown.
Marketing plans that work for your business. One call can do it all. Civic Media, 608-819-8255.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
I have Corrine Hendrickson, part of the Wisconsin Early Childhood Action Needed group.
We spend $500 on our infants and toddlers on average. If you go to the other countries, you're talking about $11,000 on average. In Europe and the other developed countries. It makes a difference. They end up spending less on their K-12 system. They end up spending less on their colleges. They end up spending less on jail.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Weekday mornings 6 till 8.
On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Todd Alba Show.
I see the silhouette of Todd Alba, who still hasn't figured out that maybe a TV person could help, you know, set this whole thing up.
For whatever reason, yeah. StreamYard's video is just deciding that the room is too bright.
When has Todd Alba been accused of being too bright? I mean, really there? I'm like, where's Aaron with the rim shot?
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
When you want something so badly, what you're able to justify and rationalize and get over. So I would say there's not a non-zero chance.
But what record would she run on? Foxconn?
I mean, what did she run on for governor? Probably the same thing.
I just remember her warning about people will be marrying coffee tables once gay marriage is allowed. So I'd like her to run just so I can ask her how many of those weddings she's been to.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Thank you.
back to the Stu Daniels Show on a Monday morning. We've got 60 degrees in Amory, 59 degrees in Eau Claire. A chance of rain throughout the day in most areas, except way up north, where it should be sunny this afternoon. And we're listening to the music of Hawaiian ukulele artist, Jake Shimabukuro, doing Pink Floyd, of all things. Wish you were here. But have you seen the video coming out of Hawaii, out of Maui, town of Lahaina? Really sad. It's hard to believe what happened there and how fast it happened, how many lives have been lost. I'm going to give you an update on the story. The headline from USA Today says, Maui rescue teams search ruins full of our loved ones. Hawaii churches offer prayers for dead and missing. And this piece from the USA Today starts out, it says, the death toll from a historic fire that roared through this Maui community rose to 96 on Sunday as teams with cadaver dogs picked through the devastation, marking the remnants of homes with a bright orange X, signify they had been searched, and an HR to announce where human remains had been found. A police roadblock kept some residents out of Lahaina, largely destroyed by the deadliest U.S. wildfire in more than a century. And more than 1,800 homes and structures were leveled, hundreds of people still missing. Maui Police Chief John Pelletier warned the search for the dead was far from over and that the death toll probably would rise. Aaron, you can slowly pull down that music. Thank you. More than 1,600 people are being housed in shelters. Possibly thousands need someplace to stay, Governor Josh Green said. State agencies were coordinating with Maui County, the Red Cross, and the Federal Emergency Management Agency to move survivors into hotel rooms and vacation rentals, he said, adding, help is pouring in both locally and around the world as our hearts are with the people of Maui. The death toll surpassed the fatalities in Northern California's Camp Fire in 2018. That blaze killed 85 and destroyed the town of Paradise. As of Sunday, the upcountry Kula Fire that sprawled about 678 acres was 60% contained. Maui officials said in a statement, the Lahaina fire, estimated to stretch across 2,170 acres, is now 85% contained, according to officials. Hawaiian Electric said Sunday it brought back online more than 60% of customers who have been without electricity since Tuesday, and they are working to restore power to about 5,000 affected customers in West Maui and upcountry. The U.S. Department of State granted a fee waiver for people who lost their U.S. passport book or passport card as a result of the wildfires in Hawaii, FEMA said in a statement on Sunday. At least two other fires also were burning on Maui. Damage to Lahaina and other towns in the path of the fires that have swept across multiple Hawaiian islands was estimated at close to $6 billion, the governor said. Green and the Hawaii Housing Finance and Development Corporation are launching a program to connect property owners who would like to offer rooms, dwelling units, houses, or other accommodations with Maui residents affected by the fire disaster. Application forms for the Hawaii Fire Relief Housing Program will be available online on Monday morning, the Housing Authority said in a statement. Hawaii has been dealing with wildfires for decades. But this time it will take an incredible amount of time to recover, Green added. He pledged not to let Lahaina get too expensive for locals after rebuilding. And it says here that residents attend their first Sunday Mass since disaster. Bishop urges for hope. Parishioners in Hawaii churches mourned the dead and prayed for the missing on Sunday as communities began looking ahead to a long recovery from last week's crushing fire that demolished a historic Maui town and killed more than 90 people. The Catholic bishop of the Diocese of Honolulu celebrated Mass on Sunday at a church in Kapalua, just up the road from fire-ravaged Lahaina, and urged those reeling from the wildfires not to give up hope. Quote, "How could this be a good, loving God allowing such things to happen?" The Most Reverend Clarence Larry Silva asked the congregation, the Associated Press reported. "We need to wrestle with that. The worst thing we can do is to give God the silent treatment. If we are angry with God, we should tell him so. He can take it. He will still love us," end quote. Silva later read a message from Pope Francis that said he was praying for the first responders and those who had lost loved ones, homes, and livelihoods to the wildfires. After the service, Silva declared, quote, "God loves us in tragedies and in good times. To share that faith with others who may lose it or don't have it so that they can go on and they don't give up hope." That's according to the AP. And there has been a lawsuit filed. This is a class action suit against utility companies over the wildfires. Much of the state was under a red flag fire warning when the fires started breaking out on Tuesday. No official cause of the Lahaina fire has been determined, but several factors appear to have conspired to create the largest natural disaster in state history. It's been a dry summer, and rainfall in Hawaii has declined significantly over the past 30 years. High winds from a passing Hurricane Dora fanned the flames, and climate change has been a recurring theme. Quote, "This is the first time we've ever experienced a wildfire in the context of these dry conditions, global warming, and with the hurricane that is just passing us," Green said. The class action lawsuit was filed on Saturday against utility companies on behalf of victims and survivors. The lawsuit filed by Lipsmith LLP together with Foley, Bijek, Bell, and Curtis. There's actually several different attorney groups mentioned here. Alleges that downed power lines owned and operated by Maui Electric Company Limited, Hawaiian Electric Company, Hawaiian Electric Light Company, and their parent company, Hawaiian Electric Industries, caused the fire. The lawsuit obtained by USA Today also stated that the utility companies inexcusably kept their power lines energized during forecasted high fire danger conditions, ultimately causing loss of life, serious injuries, destruction of hundreds of homes and businesses, displacement of thousands of people, damage to many of Hawaii's historic and cultural sites. Hawaiian Electric spokesman Jim Kelly stressed in an email that no cause had been determined and that the company will cooperate with authorities investigating the blaze. "Our immediate focus is on supporting emergency response efforts on Maui and restoring power for our customers and communities as quickly as possible," Kelly said. So the question is, how many people are missing in Maui? Officials said they do not have a final count on how many people are missing, but some estimates have put the figure at 1,000 people. Two bodies recovered from the devastation have been identified using DNA, Maui Police Chief John Pelletier said. He encouraged relatives of people still unaccounted for to visit the Family Assistance Center in Kahului to submit DNA samples, and he expressed frustration at the difficulty in identifying remains found amid the rubble. He said, "We pick up the remains and they fall apart. When we find our family and friends, the remains that we're finding is through a fire that melted metal." U.S. Senator Mazie Hirono of Hawaii, speaking Sunday on CNN's State of the Union, addressed claims of residents who said they had little or no warning in the hours and minutes before the fires swept through their neighborhoods. Many locals said authorities were woefully unprepared for the disaster. The state attorney general's review of the disaster will include a look at when sirens were sounded and other actions were taken. The Democrats said, quote, I am not going to make any excuses for this tragedy, but we are really focused, as far as I'm concerned, on the need for rescue and, well, location of, we know, sadly, more bodies. The state, she said, is in a period of shock and loss. She said President Joe Biden called her to pledge his support and was asked if Biden should declare a climate emergency. We very much need to acknowledge that climate change is upon us, she said, adding that there are whole states where you can't even use the words climate change because they still have a head in the sand attitude, end quote. And it's a very sad event. It's going to take a long time for Lahaina, the town of Lahaina, to come back. And I know that even the people who weren't in that town, but were on the island and who have lived there, are deeply affected and in a state of shock. So we can do what we can to help out. I think one of the most obvious things is to contribute to an organization like the Red Cross. I'm sure they have a Maui fund set up, and maybe I can even get that information together for you before the end of this show. We got to take a quick break. Stick around. You're tuned in to the Stu Daniels Show.
Can do it all. Your business's message can be broadcast across the entire state of Wisconsin through the Civic Media Network of stations, or we can focus the campaign in your hometown. We have the flexibility. You have the control. Civic Media, 608-819-8255.
The Devil's Advocates Radio.
The entire light beer industry is under attack from the right at this time. Apparently that they no longer have women in bikinis selling the beer.
I would suggest, and this is on the Fox Entertainment Network.
I believe it's the Fox News. Well,
well, I just hope I don't get to the Captain Morgan and Diet Cokes, man. That'd be a sad day.
The Devil's Advocates Radio with Dom and Crute. Weekdays 4 till 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kid. Dude, did you hear about Cassie and Jake? No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development? Nuh-uh. You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ed Council and Pivotal Ventures.
Here's your updated forecast. Cloudy today with a chance for scattered storms. Highs around 70. Northeast winds 10 to 15 miles per hour. Lows level off around 48 tonight. Mainly clear skies. Ample sunshine expected tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 79. Mainly cloudy skies expected Wednesday. Decreasing clouds by Thursday. Mid 80s Wednesday. Mid 70s by Thursday. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air WLAK 1260 AM. Right now 60.
This summer, Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK has a new starting lineup. 12:15, Town Call. 1 p.m., The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn directs WLAK.
Legalize it. Don't criticize it.
I will advertise it. Some call it Tampi. Some call it the weed. Some call it marijuana. Yeah. Some of them call. Of instrument too. Legalize it, yeah, yeah. That's the best thing you can do.
Yes, that is the best thing you can do. 52 minutes after 8 o'clock now. And I guess another way to put that would be 8 minutes away from 9 o'clock. Welcome back to the Stu Daniels Show, and that's what we're talking about, legalizing marijuana. You know, I remember back in the 1970s when some areas of the United States started decriminalizing marijuana. And I thought, well, it's probably only a matter of a few years until it's legal. It seemed like the smart way to go. But then we got Ronald Reagan and Nancy Reagan and Just Say No. And then all of a sudden, marijuana became like some dangerous drug or something. Now, 40 years later, we're at a place where many areas finally have not only decriminalized, but legalized, but not in Wisconsin. Nope, we've been resistant, despite the fact that most of the states all around us have now legalized. And the reason why I'm bringing this up now is because there is an editorial piece in the Wisconsin State Journal just posted that says, our view, legalizing marijuana in Wisconsin will bring in millions, increase freedom, and recognize reality. This piece says $36 million could pay for 450 teachers in Wisconsin. It could fix more than 700,000 potholes, or it could help 12,000 struggling families stay in their apartments or homes, avoiding eviction. And that's just the potential impact of the $36 million in tax revenue Wisconsin could collect every year from its residents now buying cannabis in Illinois. If marijuana were legalized here, as it has been in some form in every state surrounding Wisconsin, the tax collections would easily top $100 million, according to the State Legislative Fiscal Bureau. Minnesota, for example, which legalized recreational marijuana on August 1st, expects to receive $110 million in annual tax revenue by 2027. That's enough money to employ and train some 5,000 young people in the Wisconsin Conservation Corps, building trails, managing wildlife habitats, and completing carpentry projects. More important than tax receipts, legalizing marijuana in Wisconsin would recognize reality that cannabis has gone mainstream. Most Americans now live in states where it's legal, and it hasn't caused lots of problems. Half of Wisconsin adults 21 or older live within a 75-minute drive to a recreational dispensary, according to the Independent Wisconsin Policy Forum. And that was before Minnesota became the latest Midwestern state to allow it. So obviously now that Minnesota is legal, it's way more than half of Wisconsin adults 21 and older living within a 75-minute drive. Michigan and Illinois granted adults the freedom to use marijuana in 2018 and 2020, respectively. Iowa, the only other state that borders Wisconsin, allows medical marijuana with a prescription. Madison area residents can drive just 45 minutes down Interstate 39 to a dispensary in South Beloit, Illinois. Bringing the substance back across the border is technically a crime. Yet, more than a dozen cities, including Kenosha, La Crosse, Madison, Milwaukee, Oshkosh, Stevens Point, and Superior, have decriminalized small amounts. Legalizing it across Wisconsin will make our state more fair for everyone by standardizing access and rules. It also will prevent excessive drug charges applied to people stopped for traffic violations or other minor offenses. Marijuana-related arrests and charges disproportionately affect people of color, which makes it harder to find and keep jobs. Just as adults are allowed the freedom to drink alcohol responsibly, so should they be able to consume cannabis, which is arguably less dangerous, if not beneficial, for some. Consider that doctors in Wisconsin can prescribe highly addictive opioids, which are killing 1,400 people a year in Wisconsin, according to the State Department of Health Services. Yet, state Republican lawmakers won't allow medical patients suffering from cancer, multiple sclerosis, and other terrible diseases to use marijuana as a mild and less risky alternative for controlling pain and nausea. Republican opposition to medical marijuana is weakening, yet it remains unjustified and inhumane. Allowing adults to purchase small amounts of cannabis at legal dispensaries for pleasure will help ensure the substance is safe and regulated for users. Unlike street drugs, which can be laced with unexpected substances such as deadly fentanyl, cannabis from dispensaries must be grown according to government health standards. Marijuana shouldn't be sold to teenagers because it can harm their developing brains, according to the Center for Disease Control and Prevention, nor should it be sold in bright colors as gummies, which have been mistaken for candy by children. Yet, moderate use by adults is relatively safe, and some of the substantial revenue from legalized marijuana in Wisconsin could be used to address any existing or unforeseen problems. Op-ed piece in the Wisconsin State Journal. Top of the hour break. Stick around. You're tuned in to the Stu Daniels Show.
This is Joey Erickson at Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK. At Civic Media, we love our local communities and want to share your stories. Submit your local event and we'll let our listeners know. Email me at joey.erickson@civicmedia.us.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
You're listening to WLAK 1260 AM Amory and WBZH 910 AM W245 CT Hayward. Always streaming on the Civic
ABC
Media
News
app.
On-